a major discovery was exhibited in Paris towards the end of the 19th century. This was cinema, known as the seventh art. The first film in history made by the Lumière brothers. An astonishing event took place when the film was first projected. The audience fled in panic in the middle of the film. The image of a train approaching a station was so realistic that they imagined the train was about to hit them. This was the first time they had seen a film screen, and they thought that the image produced with a technology that was exceptionally advanced for its time actually represented reality. The audience were deceived by the light falling onto the screen and imagined that the images that formed were real. Another 100 years went by. The same illusory effects are obtained today thanks to holograms and with special eyeglasses that set up a three-dimensional image. People wearing these goggles become greatly excited and imagine that the virtual world they see is actually real. They feel themselves to be part of this virtual universe. Yet they do all this in the full knowledge that these images they see are only virtual. But what about the real world? Could that also be deceiving us with its high technical quality? Could we actually be only imagining that we have direct experience of a world that we perceive virtually? This film looks at the answer to that question. In the light of the latest findings, scientists have arrived at a most interesting conclusion. In fact, our world is pitch black, and what we call light is simply a perception formed in people's brains. Because none of the sources of light actually emit it. What is emitted to the universe from light sources is radiation of different wavelengths and different kinds. In other words, electromagnetic particles. Some of these reach our Earth. Some of these electromagnetic particles, which produce various effects on Earth depending on their volume, mass, velocity, and frequency, are known as light. We perceive the effects of these electromagnetic particles in a variety of ways. Throughout our lives, many radioactive particles enter our bodies and pass through them. Some of these particles are so heavy and energy charged that usually they shatter any molecule they may encounter and continue on their way with little deviation. This phenomenon underlies the way in which radiation gives rise to cancer. Some electromagnetic particles are slightly weaker than these. X-rays, for example. X-ray machines make use of X-rays and turn the effect of electromagnetic radio waves into visible light, that is, into a form visible to our eyes. Some parts of electromagnetic radiation act as a source of the perception we refer to as light. Photons. Photons are much lighter particles that usually bounce back from the first molecule they encounter. In doing so, they do almost no damage to the place they strike. Due to their frequencies, the speed at which they vibrate, ultraviolet rays are charged with greater energy and can penetrate more deeply into our skin, sometimes damaging the cell's genetic codes. That is why we need to be protected from solar rays at certain times, particularly during the summer. Those photons, known as infrared because of their frequencies, leave some of their energy behind, increasing the speed of vibration of the atoms there. In other words, the heat on the surface they strike. For this reason, infrared rays are also called as heat rays. An electric heater, for example, gives off large amounts of infrared radiation, which is seen, or rather perceived, by our bodies as heat. It is clear that photons give rise to many physical and chemical effects, and not all photons are perceived as light rays. Light rays are those whose frequencies lie between infrared and ultraviolet. The only reason we describe these particles as light rays is that they are perceived by our eyes. So how do our eyes perceive these photons? Let us now examine the answer to that question together. The retinal layer at the back of the eyeball contains cells that are sensitive to light. Photons falling on this layer are turned into electrical impulses by the receptor cells there. The optical nerves carry this electrical current to the visual center at the rear of the brain, which interprets the current and gives rise to images. In other words, if the cells in our eyes perceived these photons not as light but as heat, then instead of perceiving an object as red, we would perceive that it was hot. All these findings show that the eye is merely an intermediary unit that converts photons into an electrical signal. No senses of light or color form in the eye. We give the name of a color to photons at various frequencies of vibration. Red, blue, yellow. When all frequencies are combined together, the result is white. In other words, this piece of paper is white because it reflects all photons of different frequencies. This leaf is green because it reflects only those photons at a frequency that gives the impression of the color green while absorbing all others. This box, on the other hand, is black because it absorbs all photons and reflects none. In other words, none of the photons falling on black objects are reflected into the eye. When people refer to a structural disorder in the eye, this actually means that photons are converted into some different electrical signals in the retina. As a result, the visual center in the brain perceives the same object in different ways. That is why colorblind people confuse certain colors with one another and are unable to perceive others at all. These facts show that concepts such as white, green, or transparent are actually perceptions forming in the brain. In other words, they are completely physical phenomena that occur in darkness. The external world that we imagine we see as brightly colored consists of perceptions and interpretations taking place inside that darkness. In fact, there is a three-stage wall between us and the original matter in the outside world. First, we can never see the original of the television we sit in front of, nor what kind of reality it possesses in the outside world. What reaches us is merely photons leaving the television, in other words, physical particles. We can never go beyond these particles. This is the first wall between us and the original television. When its photons reach our eyes and strike their retina, they are turned into electrical energy by the enzymes there. At this stage, neither do photons exist. This constitutes yet another wall between the television and ourselves. When nerves carry this electrical energy to the visual center in our brain, it changes form once again, taking the form we refer to as images. We can never pass beyond this image. In other words, we never perceive the electricity reaching our visual center, nor be aware of its existence. This is the third wall. Even one single wall may distance us from the true existence of the television, and we can only perceive that data regarding that existence after it has been subject to change three separate times. Now, imagine that you are part of an experiment. You are unable to leave this underground chamber for a whole year. Your only link to the outside world is this closed-circuit television screen in front of you. When you turn the television on, you see the following message. The images you are about to see on this screen are being screened live from cameras in Africa. Images from these cameras are transmitted live to satellites, and from there to receivers above this room, from where they are forwarded to this room. Is that message true or not? You can never be sure, because every stage of the transmission can possibly have originated from an artificial source. Moreover, the image you see may also be from a cassette plugged into a video in an adjoining room. Yet since you are unable to leave the room, it is impossible for you to go see the original African scenery for yourself. Yet, what if you had lived in that room since the day you were born? What if you can never leave? What if, for your entire life, you see the outside world only on that screen? In that case, it is highly unlikely that you would think that there was an original of every image on the screen, because all that was truly there was images on your screen. Facts such as these in the realm of sight also apply to the senses of hearing, touch, taste, and smell. All of these impressions we perceive in closed chambers in our brains. Never can we make direct contact with their originals in the outside world. The sounds we listen to on the radio originate inside the hearing center in our brains. There is actually no sound outside, merely physical movements in the air that we refer to as sound waves. After going through various processes in the inner ear, these physical movements come to us as electrical signals. What do the electrical signals we perceive as sound correspond to outside? We can never know. The sounds we hear in this closed room, and which we imagine to be coming from the jungles of Africa, may also be artificial sounds produced in the room next door. We can never have direct experience of any matter existing in the outside world. The ground we walk on, the sky, the houses we see, trees, cars, and human beings, in short, everything, are merely objects that we can reach as perceptions. In other words, we actually see a copy of the external world in our brains, and all images, sounds, smells, and tastes exist solely in the relevant centers in our brains, just like in a dream. Dreams, imaginary worlds, in which you may sometimes be a knight riding to battle, sometimes a deep-sea diver, and sometimes even have a completely different body. We see, touch, and hear various objects around us when we dream, and perceive their existence in exactly the same way as when we are awake. Yet these are all experienced in our minds, and none are actually real. A dream is an assembly of perceptions resulting from the interpretation of stimuli reaching the relevant centers in our brains. Dreams. Dreaming, like all mental processes, is a product of the brain and its activity. Whether a person is awake or asleep, the brain continuously gives off electrical waves. At most times during sleep, the brain waves are large and slow. But at certain times, they become smaller and faster. During periods of fast brain waves, the eyes move rapidly as though the sleeper were watching a series of events. This stage of sleep, called REM, rapid eye movement sleep, is when most dreams occur. During REM sleep, the pathways that carry nerve impulses from the brain to the muscles are blocked. Therefore, the body cannot move during dreams. The cortex is stimulated by neurons, nerve cells, that carry impulses from the part of the brain called the brainstem. And after being made happy or terrified by these perceptions belonging to objects and events that correspond to nothing in the world of reality, we open our eyes and wake. It is quite clear that we do not experience the original of the external world we live in either, but only a copy of it inside ourselves. This is a fact that many people are unaware of. The reason for this error is that we are deceived into thinking that there is also an image belonging to our bodies inside this universe of perceptions. In other words, we make the mistake of thinking that our bodies represent our true identities. We think of the skin that hurts when cut, our tongues that taste, and our ears that listen to pieces of music as ourselves, and have no doubts as to our own physical existence. Yet, like other objects, we can have direct experience of only a copy of the body in question. Everything you see when you look around takes place in your visual center. In other words, in a region just a few cubic centimeters in size, towards the back of the brain. Again, your body that you experience solely as a perception, beyond which you can never go, is also there. Let us now consider your physical body outside this perception. You will have to accept the presence of a giant outside the body you see at this moment. Since you and everything you see, your room and all the objects outside, are in the visual center in that body's skull, its physical body must also be enormous. That being the case, you must be a miniature human being living in a giant's skull. To put this another way, imagine that you are imprisoned in a locked chamber at the top of a giant tower, never able to leave that room, and merely watching a screen placed in front of you. In this analogy, the tower is your material body, whose external existence you maintain, while the body that you perceive is only the little man imprisoned at the top of that tower. In other words, the tower is your body, and the tiny room at the top of the tower that constitutes your world is your brain. Your brain is a closed room that you can never leave, since you experience everything in the external world as perceptions arising in your brain. You can never go beyond these to experience true matter. You watch the electrical signals perceived by your visual center, but can never see their real source. Many people are unable to comprehend that the outside world consists of a totality of perceptions. The reason for this error is a philosophy that has survived since ancient times, materialism. Materialists regard matter as the absolute truth and refuse to believe in anything outside it. Materialists regard the human mind as a derivative of matter and totally deny the existence of God. Some others believe in a plane of existence outside matter, yet they still regard matter as an absolute entity. These are semi-materialists. This error lies beneath such widespread concepts as metaphysics and the supernatural. All these descriptions based on matter are mistaken, because we can never experience the true original of matter. Everything we refer to as matter, we see as perception. Everything we refer to as matter, we see as perceptions taking place in our minds. The famous 18th century British philosopher and bishop George Berkeley sets this out as follows. We believe in the existence of objects just because we see and touch them, and they are reflected to us by our perceptions. However, our perceptions are only ideas in our mind. Since all these exist only in the mind, then it means that we are beguiled by deceptions when we imagine the universe and things to have an existence outside the mind. Materialists, who deny this fact and regard matter as an absolute entity, must also regard themselves as the little man at the top of the tower. The way that people who think along these lines are unable to comprehend the true nature of the world is revealed in these terms in the Quran. They know an outward aspect of the life of this world, but are heedless of the hereafter. In this verse, the word outward is a translation of the Arabic zahir. The concept of zahir refers to external appearance. In contrast, there is also the concept of batin, meaning the essence of things which is not externally visible, or their internal aspect. Unbelievers know only the external appearance of the world, which is why they cannot grasp the existence of God and his dominion over all that exists. On the other hand, anyone who understands that it is not possible to experience the original of matter is saved from all these errors and understands the batin, or internal aspect of the life of this world. God has created all things at the level of sensations and perceptions. Imam Rabbani, regarded as one of the greatest scholars in the history of Islam, explains this in his letters. Only God existed, and there was none but Him. When He willed that His hidden perfection should appear, He made each of His names a sign, so that His perfection would be manifested in that appearance. Nothing but non-being is suitable to be the place of appearance for being and its subjects, because the opposite and contrary of being is non-being alone. Accordingly, the glorious God with His perfect might determined in the realm of non-being a sign for each of His names. And He created that sign in the sphere of perceptions and imagination at the time He willed and in the way He willed. The permanence of the world is not at the exterior level, but at the level of perception and imagination. Even at the exterior level, nothing has absolute existence apart from the being and attributes of Almighty God. Even though the Wahdatul Wujud viewed has deviated from the truth by misunderstanding this reality and rejecting the existence of all creation, great scholar Imam Rabbani set the right measure on this subject. According to Imam Rabbani, all beings are shadow beings relative to God. However, just as we can never reach the material universe, neither can we have full knowledge of its true essence. All we know is the existence of the Creator who brought all these things into being, in other words, God. To express that truth, great Islamic scholars like Imam Rabbani have said that the only absolute being is God, and that all the rest, except Him, are shadow entities. That is because the world we see is entirely in our minds, and to directly experience its counterpart in the external world is totally impossible. It can clearly be seen that the facts unearthed by modern physics and physiology are those already imparted by Islamic scholars, and what is more, many hundreds of years ago. In the same way that the matter we can experience only as perception has no volume, it also occupies no space. Anyone grasping this fact will be freed from a number of errors. Heading the list of these is the question, where is God? Since most people assume that each of the objects they perceive occupies a specific location, they imagine that God is in outer space, up in the sky, or resides in some other part of the universe. God is surely beyond that. This ignorant belief is described in the Quran, in the story of Pharaoh, who ignorantly claimed that he, himself, was the Lord of Egypt, and that God was in the skies, and commanded his assistant Haman to construct a tower. Pharaoh said, "Haman, build me a tower so that perhaps I may gain means of access to the heavens, so that I can look on Moses' God." However, since there is no other entity than God, He is everywhere and encompasses all places. This truth is also explained in the Quran. Both east and west belong to God, so wherever you turn, the face of God is there. God is all-encompassing, all-knowing. Generally, people refer to entities they see close to themselves as being nearby. The giant galaxies we imagine to be billions of kilometers away are perceptions in the visual centers in our brains. In other words, inside us, not far away at all. To believe otherwise is an error stemming from materialist thinking. God is the only entity closer to us than anything else. This secret is revealed thus in the Quran. We created man, and we know what his own self whispers to him. We are nearer to him than his jugular vein. People who fail to understand that they cannot directly experience the originals of matter and space also harbor doubts regarding the life of the hereafter. These people question how God will destroy the entire universe on the Day of Judgment and build paradise and hell in its place. God is surely beyond that. Yet in the same way that we every morning leave the world of dreams and return to what we imagine to be real life,
Hershey.
Our lives in this world will one day come to an end, and our eternal lives in the hereafter will begin.
Sonsuz bir yoğunlukta ve sıcaklıkta tek bir noktada toplanmışlardı. Bilim adamları bu anın günümüzden yaklaşık 15 milyar yıl
önce olduğunu hesapladılar. The universe is a totality of perceptions.
Bu an,
and it is easy for God to replace these perceptions with others.
Büyük bir patlamanın ardından oluşarak bir araya gelme sürecinin başlangıcıydı.
Until today, you had always imagined that your body lived in this world. You imagined that you looked at the outside world from your body. But now you know that you have no direct experience of the physical reality of matter, nor of the external world, nor of your body. Everything we see and feel is the result of perceptions bestowed on us by God. In short, the universe is a totality of perceptions. The only absolute entity in the universe is Almighty God, the Lord and Creator of all.